Did you mute yourself?
No, can you hear me? Are you there? Hello?
What the heck?
Hello? Did you mute yourself? Can you hear me now?
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and ghouls, welcome to a spine-tingling new episode of Guess What? You're Wrong, with your host, Big D. That's right, folks. The spooky season has arrived, and we're not clowning around. This year, we're delving headfirst into the eerie world of clown-based horror. So, whether you're a seasoned horror enthusiast or just a curious soul looking for a thrill, fasten your seatbelts, because we're about to take you on a chilling ride through the carnival of nightmares. So grab your grease paint, your oversized shoes, and your funny nose if you dare, because beneath the painted smiles and colorful costumes lies a world of darkness and suspense. Join us as we unravel the mysteries, confront the fears, and explore the twisted minds behind these macabre entertainers. Now grab a front row seat and prepare for a twisted, terrifying, and utterly thrilling experience. Welcome to Guess What? You're Wrong, the podcast that proves in the world of horror your worst nightmares might just be right around the corner.
Now, before we get into this episode too far, I just got a little disclaimer here. First off, all audio used in this podcast is used under the protection of fair use. And as with all the movie reviews that I do here on Guess What? You're Wrong, we're going to spoil the hell out of every single thing we talk about. So, you have been warned.
Hello and welcome back to another chlorophobia-inducing episode of Guess What? You're Wrong. And I say chlorophobia like everybody out there in the world knows what that means, right?
I mean, in context, I figure it's the fear of clowns.
It is the fear of clowns. That's right.
I'm a genius.
You went to some schools, didn't you? So what we have here is we have Kelvin on the line with us again.
This time, hello.
We are diving headfirst into It from 1990, the miniseries that was made for TV.
Now, and you can tell.
Now, I'm sure there's probably some people out there that don't know what the hell this is all about. So in 1960, seven preteen outcasts fight an evil demon who poses as a child-killing clown. 30 years later, they reunite to stop the demon once and for all when it returns to their hometown. Now, like I said, this was a miniseries made for TV. And this is a Stephen King. It's a Stephen King story. So, I mean, I'm guessing there might be people out there that don't know that.
Be surprising to me, because I feel like this is probably his biggest one, or at least his most known one, besides this and The Shining.
I think because of the new movies, this is one of his most known ones.
Yeah, true. I would say, honestly, just Tim Curry's whole portrayal.
I am telling you, was iconic.
Yeah, no, generally, like, it's risen, like you could have never seen this movie, but you see that and you know that's Pennywise. You know that's clown from It.
Oh, yeah. You know, and we have the cast we have on this. I mean, we have Richard Thompson. Now, these are some very big stars that were big in the 80s and 90s.
I remember
some, a lot of these people here, but somebody as young as you may not recognize some of them.
I recognize Ben, because he was on He was on some sitcom, 80s sitcom.
That's John Ritter, dude.
Yeah, John Ritter. Wasn't he on Home Improvement?
No, he was on that guy. He was on a TV show in the 70s called Three's Company.
That's what it was. Okay. Yeah. That's the one that I know him for. Yeah. I never watched it, but.
Oh, yeah.
The name.
And we had Richard Thomas, Tom Reed as Mike Hanlon, and the lovely Annette O'Toole. Oh, boy.
Yes.
Hubba hubba.
As soon as she popped up, I was like, oh, my God, it's Mama Kent. I forgot that she was in this.
But she
plays Mama Beverly. Kent in Smallville.
Wow. In this movie, she plays Beverly.
Yes, Beverly Marsh.
And, of course, we have Harry Anderson, who played, who was actually the judge in Night Court in the 80s. Now that's a TV show that I love.
You know, I think his actor looks the most like their kid counterpart in this movie.
Yeah, they did a good job with that.
I think the rest of them are fine, but
Dennis Christopher as Eddie, Richard, there's a whole bunch here. Richard Mazur as Stanley. Of course, we mentioned John Ritter as Ben. And of course, Tim Curry as Pennywise. Now, should we go through the kids too? I mean,
yes. Okay. Yes. Yes. You know why?
Yeah. Why?
Because the kids are so much better in this movie than the adults.
And
so much better.
And there's a reason why. I'll get to that here in a little bit. We have, well, the reason why I think.
Probably similar with your opinion, but
Jonathan Brandis, who plays the age 12 Bill Brandon Crane.
He was a big star, wasn't he?
I don't know. He doesn't look too familiar to me.
I recognize him from Neverending Story too.
That's from the Neverending Story.
That's what I remember.
That's from The Great Nothing.
Oh God, we're not starting with this again. Seth Green plays Richie, which is really weird to see him as a child.
That was, you know, when I rewatched that, I still didn't even
put it together
until I'm sitting here looking at the cast list, and I was like, wait a minute, that was Seth Green.
Yeah, I mean, as soon as I saw him, I was like, he looks like Seth Green, but a child. But
you can plainly tell, that it's Seth Green. I'm like, wow, dude, I missed that completely. Brandon Crane as Ben, Adam Farazel as Eddie.
Yeah. I don't know how to pronounce that last name either.
Ben Heller as Stanley. Emily Perkins as Beverly as a 12-year-old. And these are the children ones.
Yeah.
Marlon Taylor as Mike Hanlon. Olivia Hussey as Audra. Oh, we can't leave out this guy. Jared
Bowers,
Blanchard, who played Henry Bowers. What a dick he was.
I would call him a psychopath, actually.
Yeah. it is. I mean, the look in his eyes.
He was going to, you can tell, because his friends are like, I don't think we should do this, but he was going to cut him.
Yeah. And the whole scene where they're throwing rocks at him, when Mike finally meets the Losers Club, when they become the Seven. They're throwing. Look, he's looking up, and that smirk. He just looks back and smirks at him. You're like, dude, this guy's a fucking psycho.
Yeah, no spoilers, but they take it to a nth degree in the remake.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
Well, and see, and that's what one of the things. This was made for TV, and like you said earlier, you can blatantly tell that it was made for TV. I don't know that if they made this as a movie in the 90s, I don't know if it would have went off as well.
I think why it was so successful is because it was on TV, because kids would just turn it on and they would just see that clown, and that image was imprinted in their head forever.
Yeah. This was one of those. I remember when this came out. In the 90s. Well, in the 90s, in 1990.
Yeah, on the dot.
Yeah, and...
And you can tell, too, because they're still very... Like, even in the present day, when they're all adults, they're wearing kind of still 80s clothes. Yeah. It's just, it's on that edge.
Yeah. And, you know, it was one of these minis here. This is what they used to do. They don't really do this too much anymore that I know of. I don't watch much regular TV anymore, but... They used to have, this was a buildup. You know, they used to be like coming, you know, in 6 weeks, you know, part one to Stephen King's It. And they'd have this whole lead up to the first episode in the first portion of the miniseries. And people would be waiting for this. You know, there would be a family night. They'd be like, okay, this is the night. It's coming out tonight. We're going to sit down as a family and we're going to sit here and we're going to watch this movie. And that's something that you don't have anymore. So
yeah,
then that couldn't.
It was like event television.
Yeah, that couldn't happen today because, you know, first of all, you know, kids are too wrapped up in other screens and not wanting to have family time anymore.
Yeah.
And
that's also a thing, too. Like, it's just the attention span of children nowadays, too. It's very small.
And it's hard to break that. Boy.
Yeah. Yeah, it does suck. I mean, like, I'm glad I wasn't raised in this generation because I am able to watch a show and a movie and not be bored.
Yeah. I'm bored.
Yeah. I mean, unless it's bad. If it's something bad, then I get it.
So now, this opening scene with this little girl on a tricycle.
Yes. This opening, I love it so much. It's such a simple, like, just, it's all it is a cut. That's all it is. He's there and he's not, but it works so well.
Yeah, and you don't. I mean, having seen it before, you know what's, of course, you know what's going to happen here.
Oh, but yeah, of course, yeah.
Going into this fresh as a person that had never seen that, I mean, and that's horrific. I mean, this is one of the rules in cinema. You don't hurt kids.
Oh, yeah, but that's this entire movie.
killing
children.
Yeah, that's exactly what this is, you know. Pennywise the clown feeds. Is he feeding off the kids themselves, or is it the fear of the kids?
Yeah, that's why he scares them, because the fear, I guess, makes it. He says it makes it taste better. Oh, I don't know.
Goodness gracious. You know, and this first scene here where that little girl, you know, the mom's folding clothes and hanging clothes out, and she tells her, you know, well, come in inside or whatever, and she disappears.
Well, no, she doesn't disappear, because the mom screams as if a body's there, and then whenever the police and the ambulance show up, they're dragging a body away.
But
so if I had to,
that's right.
Yeah, if I had to guess, I think he probably just like a good piece of flesh out of her or something.
That's right. So that's different, because the rest of the kids, they disappear, don't they?
Well, yeah, I think most of the time he probably just eats them whole. I think, I don't know if it's that he couldn't finish her off. I mean, she's dead. She's dead no matter what.
Yeah.
So we just don't see what she looks like. For all we know, she could be like mostly a skeleton. We don't know.
I didn't think about that.
Yeah, you see your body, because Mike is out there, he sees it, and then that's when he sees the Georgie poster.
Georgie.
Or the Ford photograph, that's what it is, the missing picture photograph.
Poor Georgie.
And I know, man. He's like, he's such a kid, like, they get such a kid, it's like, we're gonna kill him.
And his brother has that stuttering, a very bad stuttering issue, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he makes him this, and this is one thing as a kid that we never did.
You never done this? You never did this?
No.
I did this at church. They would, I don't know, whatever that oil was or whatever you put on the bottom of the boat, paper, and it makes it float. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what was it? Resin? What did he say we got to put?
He calls like parafix,
paraffin.
It starts with a P. Paraffin. Yeah, paraffin.
And,
Also, why is he keeps like saying cooties? Like, you're giving me cooties? Isn't that like a girl thing?
Yeah, cooties. Cooties was a big thing back in the late 80s and early 90s.
Well, yeah, I know, but like, he's a boy. Like, he's not going to be spreading cooties to you.
Yeah, you're a younger kid that you're getting in my business here, so you got cooties, dude. Anybody that you didn't want in your business had cooties.
I guess. I mean, I always thought it was just a thing propagated by little boys, so that way, like, you know, could get girls away, but really it's because he had a crush on them.
Yeah. Most of the time, that's what it was.
Yeah.
You know. And then, so this boat, I'd made paper boats before like that, but I'd never put no paraffin on them. I never thought about that. It would basically, what it does is it seals it so it doesn't.
Yeah, so the water doesn't get through.
That's pretty ingenious.
They call it something else as well. I can't remember the other name, but because they call it something else in the remake.
No, did they?
Yeah, but I can't remember what it was.
Oh. Interesting. That's interesting. let me go back here to my notes. I hate not having my own computer here because I gotta go through my laptop on everything.
I actually took notes on this one, too. It was the first time I have. I separated them, too, by sections of the kids and the adults.
So let's talk about that. Let's go ahead and just go into that there.
Okay. Look, I've said this so many. Said this when I read the book, when I watched this one and the remake. The kid's story is just, like, not the only good part. It's just the best part of this story.
Yeah.
I think why is because when you're, there's something about reading or watching a child go through this horrific stuff and try to fight it, then watch, like, I don't know, there's, when you're watching an adult do it, there's just something taken away. It's not as frightening. Because I'm like, you're an adult. You could just buy a revolver and shoot the thing. Like, why are you using slingshots right now?
Because that's you don't have silver bullets. Okay, they could have silver bullets. That would.
Yeah, Richie has that line where he's like, man, I really wish we brought a machine gun. Yeah. I'm like, yeah, me too. And, but, you know, yeah, it's just the kids section I always thought has always been better.
I think, my opinion, the reason why that is because this is a child's story of survival, right? This is something that they deal with when they're kids.
Yes.
So that's the best part of the story. And for one thing is, it's because one of the unwritten rules in horror is that you don't hurt kids.
Yeah, you don't mess with kids. That's the entire story. That's the entire, first part.
But that's another reason why the kid's story is better, because you see the survivors.
I also think it has to do with the acting. I genuinely think if for being kid actors, I believe in them more as those kids than when they're adults. And I like just those characters. I don't know.
Yeah. And they're also, look at the adult actors we have here. I mean, we have comedians.
And they're also like a lot of TV actors too.
TV actors, drama actors, comedy actors, that's what they've done. So they're adults. If you bring an established comedian into a horror movie that says, hey, I know you're a comedian, but you need to act like you're afraid, like you were a kid to this thing.
Yeah.
It's a little bit more difficult. Now, if you have kids that are fresh.
Yeah. And they're children. Yeah. So no matter what, they're going to act like children because they are children.
And they're going to go into it. They don't have any, they're not a comic or drama actor. They don't have any of those holdings holding them back.
Yeah, no.
They go into it fresh as a kid. But their story is more believable. Now, specifically point out, Harry Anderson, he's a comedian. Who plays
Richie. Is he the one who plays Richie? Yeah.
He's a comedian.
Well, I think they definitely did that because in the future Richie ends up becoming a comedian. He's also like, he's the jokester of the group.
Yeah.
So it makes sense for his character.
But then you tell that comedian that you're in a horror movie too.
Yeah.
I don't know how that goes over, how that plays. I do know how it plays out because
we see it.
We see it exactly. I think the only one out of most of the ones I'm looking at here, Tim Curry, I mean, playing Pennywise, he has done several things in the past that aren't comedy, aren't specifically drama, aren't specifically thrillers. So him coming into this as Pennywise, regardless if it's when the kids are in there or when he's dealing with the adults, he's the same. He doesn't have those holdbacks that he has to be more funny or whatever. Tim Curry as Pennywise, to me, Skarsgård plays a good Pennywise. We'll get into that.
I think there's the major difference is when I'm looking at Skarsgård's, I don't trust it from the jump. I'm like, that thing is evil, and its voice and just its demeanor, I'm like, that thing's evil. But when you look at Pennywise, there are just scenes where he just looks like he's having a grand old time. He's just hopping around, jumping in photographs, doing backflips, and there's something that's like, I don't know, something kind of inviting about it until he goes to that dark side.
Until he opens his mouth and is full of razor sharp
teeth. Weird, gross teeth. Yeah. I'm going to be honest, that effect has never worked for me. There's nothing horrifying about it to me. Like, Even in the new one, when his jaw like unhinges, I don't know. It's just not scary to me.
See, I love clowns. I grew up loving clowns. I love going seeing clowns at the circus. And back,
yeah. That's an old thing.
This is back when circuses were real circuses, and they had animals, and they had real clowns.
That don't happen no more.
Yeah, I used to love it. And somewhere along the line, I don't, you know, I should do some research on that because I don't know. Somewhere along the line, clowns became the thing of horror.
I don't know if it has. I think this has a big part to do with it.
Yeah.
Think so? I think this, the book and the series has a big part to do with it. Because so many kids, like me, I just walked in on a TV and I flipped the channel and it was the sewer scene, like where it's Georgie and him. And I never really thought about clowns being a scary thing until that moment. Then I'm like, okay, that's pretty horrifying.
Yeah. And the red balloons.
I love all the balloon bits. I love, like, there's one bit where I think Ben's the one who's coming back and he goes inside of a taxi. And when he's driving by, Pennywise is there with a bunch of balloons. He's just waving. And he turns around and a balloon just pops up right behind him. And it says, like, turn around or something. And I'm like, oh, I don't know. I love all the balloon bits.
Now, I don't. In the new one, there are a bunch of different. I remember always seeing the red balloon.
It's only a red balloon. Yeah, in the new one. They're only red.
And this one here, I mean, they're just a whole. He has whole bunches of balloons.
Yeah, it's all different colored. Yeah. Which I think the reason they did it in the new one is just, you know, blood red. I get it. It's supposed to be more horrifying. But I think, again, like I said, it kind of like tricks you into thinking, oh yeah, this is just a regular clown with regular colors. It's fine, but clearly he's not. Also, really? I wanted to say something about what you said at the very beginning. You called him a demon.
That's just because that's what it says in the synopsis.
Yeah. He's not a demon. I wouldn't call him a demon.
You don't think so?
Well, okay. I guess technically in the books or the movies, they present him that way. But in the book, he's like a entity from a different universe.
Really?
Yeah, he's like an alien entity, and he got to Earth, and then he just stayed there and just started feeding off.
Well, how do you know that that's not what demons are?
Oh, hey, maybe, but I'm just...
You know, we say that they're fallen angels or something like that, or the wicked. Maybe they were actually aliens that fell from the sky.
Giant spider aliens.
Look at that. You never know. So
that's another thing, too. That design at the end, I always thought it was so stupid that it was just a giant spider. I was like, okay.
Well, spiders are kind of scary. I mean, and you also have to... This movie, there are a lot of movies out there that I love that are dated. That took place in the 80s. You know, Killer Clowns from Outer Space is one of them. You know, a lot of the Friday the 13th movies I love. Demons. I mean, I can go on and on. Argento, Fulci, all these movies I love that took place in the 80s. And they're dated, but they're good. This movie, this made-for-TV movie, is very dated, and I don't know that it... The only reason I think that this holds out still is for nostalgia's sake. I don't think that...
No, I understand. Like, I think if you to come to this and only watch part one, the kids acting and Tim Curry's acting, and also the crazy stuff doesn't happen until that point. Like, I would say the crazier stuff is towards the end with all the spiders and, like, all that. Like, if you just watch part one, it's a pretty, like, pretty apt movie. Like, I think it works even now. But part two is where it gets crazy.
Yeah, well, because in part, the first part of it, I mean, the kid's in the past. So,
yeah,
it's like watching a movie that takes place in the 50s. You know that it's dated, but it's supposed to be.
Yeah, that's the point.
But then,
what I also love about like the beginning of the movie, it goes from I think it's the 80s to the 50s. It's like 30 years.
Yeah.
But I love the little scenes in between where they show like the adults getting the call.
Oh yeah,
and you can see them coming back to their old selves. Like Bill instantly starts to stutter. Ben, I can't remember what Ben does. I think he like gropes his ear or something, but they all go back to their childhood selves. Like even when they go back to the town, they do. And I appreciate that. It's one of the better choices in the acting. And I just the story as a whole.
And, who's the, Stanley, he's the one that kills himself, right?
Yes.
And so they make the phone calls and all of them, you know, Bill, well, actually, you know, Mike, is the one that never left. He's the one that's been keeping an eye on everything. And he's the one that starts making the phone calls to all the kids because they made that promise, you know.
I think Mike might be the best adult actor out of all of them.
Yeah. Tim Reed.
I think I just think his character is very centralized. And I also think the main problem is that I feel really bad that they had the black kid be the one that stayed in the poor town. Like, it just felt weird.
See, I didn't think of it that way.
I thought of it
as he was the only one that didn't want to leave, that wanted to stay there and make sure nothing was going to happen again.
True. That works.
I never even thought about it. He was the black kid that didn't leave. Huh.
Because like he's everyone else leaves. He's the one that is having a bad time. He says he contemplates suicide, and then he gets his life back together after he finds the silver nuggets underneath in the sewer. And then, you know,
and he's digging around in a damn sewer to try.
But like he says, he was hoping, part of him was hoping that it would kill him.
Yeah.
But obviously it was asleep. I think it was in between 30 years, so it was knocked out.
So now that you mentioned that, I'm thinking all the white kids up and left and became rich and famous, and he stayed.
Yep. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm saying. It feels weird. Like, that's
the one you ruined it for me. Weird. You ruined it for me. now I feel bad for the poor black kid that stayed behind.
Wow. What makes it even worse is that in the sequel, they didn't do it, thank God. But the director, Andy Muschietti, was considering making him a drug addict, and that's why he stayed.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I'm glad they didn't go that route in the movie, in the new movie.
Sorry, I got a message from Aiden.
Oh, no, you're good. I will say the best actor out of all of them, the kids ones, is Bill. I think he, hands down.
As the kids?
The kids. I think he's the best one.
Jonathan? Yeah, I don't think his stuttering is believable.
It's not even the, okay. I'll give you that. But there's the one scene where it's after they look at the book. And I think at that moment is when he realizes that Pennywise was what killed Georgie.
Yeah.
And he you know, he goes off to himself and he just like is solemnly crying and he just like chokes out, help me, help me. And they all start coming around him. And it's just very like, I feel bad for him. Like, I'm with him at that moment. And I think it's the best acted scene in the whole movie.
Well, yeah, and I mean, it pulls on your heartstrings on that point too, because you know that he's the one that made the boat for his little brother. Mm-hmm. He's the one that helped him put the paraffin on it and told him to go out and play, just not go too far. So for all these years, he forgot it later on.
Well, yeah, as an adult, yeah, he remembered he died. He didn't remember how.
Yeah, and but up until that point, you know, the whole time while he was a kid, he had to have blamed himself.
Oh, yeah. He does. Yeah, for sure he does.
So that's...
And this is the one moment where he's like, well, I can get back the thing that got him.
Yeah, and that's... He realized there's that point there that... Who's the one kid that doesn't believe it? That's the one that ends up killing himself, right? When he's an adult, Stanley.
Yeah, Stanley. Yes, yeah.
He doesn't want to believe it. And there's that point where they're looking at the picture of the town when the circus was coming through and Pennywise comes out of the picture.
That's one of the scariest moments because you can see him in the background slowly moving. You don't know it until it, you know, switches shots again. And there's the one moment where he finishes doing a backflip. He goes on a pole and then he looks directly at the camera and it's really spooky. And then he just runs towards it. It's pretty freaky.
And it's after that, you know, they close that book and then they're saying no, you know, they're all agreeing that it's real. This is real.
But yeah, and they're trying to convince him. Yeah,
and Stanley's like, no, it's not. No, no, no. Then finally, he admits it. And when he gets the phone call when he's an adult, I guess it's just was too much for him to remember.
It's one of those, the thing, I think what it was is that like, it's not even the remembrance, it's the promise. Like they were going to have to go back and I don't think he could take it. He didn't want to go out on his promise, so he was like, "Well, this is the only option. I gotta kill myself."
And he had just been talking to his wife about having babies and you know, going to do some freaky deaky, and he goes and kills himself.
It's funny too. I like, there's a little line in the second part where they talk about, like, isn't it weird, a coincidence that none of us ever had kids? And it's like one of those things where they subconsciously didn't want to have children because I think they're worried of their lives would end up like theirs. Like they would have something like that. Oh, yeah. I thought it was a cool line.
That is kind of cool. Another thing that I didn't realize.
And at the end, they say that the curse is broken because Ben and Bev are pregnant.
That's right. Wow. I didn't even think about that. Those things like that. See, I didn't pick up on those things. And that's why I like having somebody on here to point those out.
It also helps I read the book as well.
Because now I feel like a real retard. No, that's this whole, with them all coming back into town, you know, after the phone calls are made and they all have their lives, you know, they're all popular. They're all, I think, what's Annette O'Toole?
Yeah, Bev's life is the worst. When we see that, there's the moment where, you know, he, from the beginning, when he says, like, don't talk back to me, I'm like, oh, yeah, this is going to be a problem. But then he slaps her, and I'm like, Jesus Christ. Like,
man, don't you lay hands on Annette O'Toole. Are you out of your damn mind?
I do love that scene, though, where she's like, ever get near me again, I'll kill you. I will kill you.
And that, it seems like that's something probably should have been said a while ago.
Yeah, but that's also like, I feel like that's a big part of her story, is that she has the trauma of her father and being
and now treated what's like the, shit by men. What's the, there's times when they're showing the scenes with her father where it almost seems like there was something a little bit more there besides just the
physical
abuse. Now they don't ever delve into it at all. But there's times where it's kind of like, is he?
In the book, it is very heavily implied. And in the new movie, it is very heavily implied. Yeah. Like, even more than this one. So, I would say probably.
Damn.
Yeah, that's why, she's, I mean, look, all these kids are messed up, man. All these kids.
Well, yeah, I mean, you go through the line of the kids. They all had their issues. And, you know, I gotta keep switching pages here. My laptop takes forever. So with Mike, you know, he's like a nerdy kid, right?
He likes
the history.
He's a photographer.
Yeah, and he's doing all this research on the history of Derry. And I'm guessing that this is what brings on Bowers and his group picking on him, because he's a nerdy kid. He likes history.
Oh no, it's definitely not that. It's skin color. They quite literally say the N-word to his face.
That's right, they do.
Yeah.
See?
And you know, Mike, he's such an idiot. There's a moment where it happens, they're grabbing him out right outside of like a store, and this old man goes, "Hey kid, stop it." And instead of running towards that old man, he runs away. I'm like, Mike, if you just went behind him, he would have defended you. You would have been fine. But again, if he didn't run, he wouldn't have met the Losers Club, and none of this would have happened. So, by the way, the Losers Club, like the best name for a kids group of all time. I love it.
Well, you know, there was I'm going to tell you a little bit of tale about when I was younger. I used to hang out with a group of kids. Well, this was probably, must have been in seventh grade, maybe eighth grade, seventh grade, somewhere.
They're 12. So what grade are these kids in?
Oh, hell, I don't know.
Hold on. So it goes
Liam's
11, 10, 9. Oh, my God. They are in seventh grade.
Yeah. So I was about in seventh, eighth grade when I used to hang out with this group of kids, and we called ourselves the Dead End Kids.
The Dead End Kids.
Yeah. And boy, we got into some trouble.
The Losers Club has a little sweeter ring to it than the Dead End Kids.
Yeah, a little bit.
I legit, whenever the new one came out, I was contemplating getting a Losers Club tattoo.
Wow.
Didn't get it, but I love that new movie. I just love the story. Like, legitimately, this story is so ingenious to have you have this trauma as a child and you have to come back to fight it. Just instead of it being real trauma, it's a clown. It's a demon clown.
Well, or alien clown. Or an alien. Whatever. You know, this is. And, you know, I'm old enough to remember, like I said earlier, when this first came out. And I remember the feeling of watching it. You know, I remember that that fright, the fear, the, oh my gosh, what the, you know, what the hell's going on here kind of thing. And rewatching it as an adult, you know, so many years later, I still like it and I still enjoy it, but I think it's more because
I don't see it as a horror movie
because I can remember the feelings I had when I was younger, when I watched it, it's a nostalgia thing for me.
I think besides that one scene that I saw as a child, this movie has never scared me. It's actually just been fun for me. I see it as like a child's adventure, at least the beginning part. It's these kids having to come together to kill a monster. It's like, what's it called? That Monster 80s Squad. Movie. Yeah, it's like that, but it's a clown. It gives me a lot of that energy.
Well, I don't know. I mean,
it's more horrific for sure.
See, if you're, when you're a younger adult watching it now, yeah, absolutely. Because we're so exposed to stuff now.
Yeah.
That back then in the early 90s, you weren't exposed to that stuff. This is not some stuff that you saw all the time unless you went out and you hunted this stuff down to watch these types of movies. So when you're watching this, I don't even know how old I was. I got to do the math. I don't know. How old was I in the 1990?
Let me see. It's 1990 on the dot.
Let me see.
Do some quick maths.
I was 16 years old when this came out.
So, oh, wow.
I had seen a lot of horror movies up until this point, but I had never seen something that was this scary to me as a 16-year-old on public TV.
Yeah.
All the scary movies that I had seen up until this point were things that I had to watch on a VCR at my cousin's house.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but to see something like this on TV, but yeah, it scared me. It was frightening.
It'd be the same thing now as why. If like, because like again, if you took a kid nowadays, like even like young, like a 14-year-old kid, and you showed them this one, I don't think they'd be scared. But if showed them the new one, they would definitely be horrified because it's
there's so much. So much more to it. The newer ones, the graphics, everything is just.
And also just the fact that it's also a rated R movie and it's on TV. They could, get away with more.
That's a huge, huge thing there. I do remember Halloween time, seeing a lot of people dress up as Pennywise when I was younger.
Oh, that would have bothered me.
And now when I was, 16, 17 years old, this is when kids were still running around neighborhood. Like, you see on E.T., the kids running through neighborhoods, trick-or-treating, everybody dressed up. That's what it was like back then. And I can remember people walking around as Pennywise. Wow. Oh, the days us old people remember.
Yeah, that doesn't happen anymore.
No, not at all.
You trick or treat with your parents, and that's it. And there's not a whole lot of people running.
You go to trunk or treats now.
Yeah, true. Hey, we're having one at Spring Lane Cinemas, Sanford, North Carolina. If anybody wants,
I was going to sign up for that. Is that sign up still thing going?
I think so. Yeah, if you go on the Facebook page, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I think I was going to sign up for that.
All right, cool. I'll see you there then.
When are they having the horror marathon? What day is that on?
It's the 28th, I believe.
Spring Lane Cinema, Sanford, North Carolina. What movies are they showing?
So we've got it in this order specifically, but we've got Nightmare on Elm Street 1, Friday 6, Jason Lives. We've got Child's Play.
The best Friday out there besides
Part sure.
10. But.
Yeah, it's the best one. And then Evil Dead 2. See. Which I'm excited about the most. I've never seen that on a big screen. It's going to be awesome.
I might be out there for quite some time. That.
Yeah, no, I'm hoping to get the day off. We'll see.
I'm going to have to drag LJ out there and make him sit through some of these movies.
Do you think he's going to be able to handle, well, Friday, Friday 6 will be fine.
Well, there's a sex part in there, but we can cover his eyes for that.
No, I generally think the only one that could mess him up is Nightmare on Elm Street.
Yeah. I mean, I mainly want him to see Evil Dead.
Yeah, yeah. Because Nightmare on Elm Street is a horror. Like, you take the idea that there's this thing that can invade your dreams and you give that to a kid. That's not a good idea.
Oh, yeah. You know, it's not a good idea at all. But back to It.
Yes.
From 1990.
Yes. Oh, I wanted to. There's the scene where the kids make the dam.
Yeah,
and it's the most Stand By Me scene this whole movie has. It just feels like kids being kids, and they're just playing around. The music is all, you know, high and it's just a very fun scene.
It's really reminiscent. This is the thing when I say it's nostalgia for me. I mean, that's the kind of stuff that we used to do as kids.
Yeah, back in the day. Yeah.
You know, I mean, we'd be. Group of us friends would be out in the middle of, I'm sure it was private property, somebody's woods somewhere.
Yes, yeah.
You know, but we're out there dicking around, starting a campfire and building stuff and doing all this stuff. But that's the stuff kids don't have anymore either, you know?
Yeah, kids. I think it's a thing of like, it's a thing of fear. I think as well, parents, they just want to let their children have that kind of freedom because, you know, something could happen.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, even like when I was a kid, me and my cousin would just go run outside and just do whatever.
Yeah.
But that doesn't happen as much anymore.
Fun times. Building dams. What the hell was the purpose of building that dam?
Well, I was very confused until the end. And then you notice they made like a little pool of water so they could just, you know, it was the summer. So they could go and, you know, swim around.
But they never swam in there.
Yeah, they do. At the very end, they're just going in there splashing each other. With clothes on, which I don't, I'm like, you guys have shoes and clothes on. I'm like, take your shoes off.
See, I thought they, okay, well, all right. I missed a lot in this movie, I guess. Jeez. I missed all the racial undertones. I missed everything.
Yeah. God damn it. Yeah. I don't understand how you missed that one. He quite literally says the N-word to the kid's face.
Well, I don't know. I mean, there are certain things that, in any movie, there's certain things that, will just fly over my head, you know.
Yeah, you'll just miss it.
You know, a lot, the obscene use of the N-word, you know, the cussing, a lot of cussing sometimes. You know, there was times when I went to watch a movie, somebody's like, is there a lot of cursing in it? And I'm like, no, there's none. But then you go and watch it. And they're like, fuck, shit, cocksucker, fuck. And I'm like, oh, damn, I was wrong.
That's probably most definitely what happened when you tried to show everybody Stand By Me.
Yes. I thought... That's a PG-13 movie, man. It's a PG movie. And
I mean, it was back then, probably.
I stand by that.
It was back then, probably, but not now.
Yeah, and I mean, there's a lot of things in movies that just fly over my head. And, you know, and they didn't in this. I mean, I don't know. I don't know. Am I just old?
Okay. Well, I'm sure you did. Did you pick up on the part with Eddie, the fact that he's not actually sick? Like he has no illness at all.
Yeah. He was getting his mom was placeboing
him.
Yeah. Well, just doing it so she could take care of him.
Yeah. So she could always have him.
And even when he's older, she's like, I'm coming up to wash your back.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, well, that's a little creepy, you know.
But that's one of my favorite little details too, is because you later find that out, but it's like he thought it was battery acid when he did that, and that's why it worked on him, because he believed it worked. It would work. That's one of the biggest themes about this whole movie is belief. They are believing instead of fearing.
That's when they were kids, it worked. Because when he's an adult and he tries it, it doesn't work. Because
I just don't think it works then, just because he grabbed him. I mean, yeah, I see what you mean. I also think it's because he's an adult and, you know, it's harder to believe in that kind of stuff.
It's like, it's like, you know, the Santa Claus thing.
Yeah.
You know, does he exist when you're a child? But he definitely does not exist when you're an adult.
Yeah.
You know, and
Because he only exists when you're a kid because you believed he did.
Yeah, it's the belief. That's why I think it worked when he was a kid, in the battery acid coming out. And when he was an adult, he just didn't believe in it. He knew.
Because even at the time, he was told that, but he still didn't even believe it, that it was fake, that it was placebo.
Oh, yeah.
His doctor told him, he was like, "You're lying," he left.
Yeah, and that was, even when he comes back to him when he's older, he comes back into town, and he talks to him, and, you know, the pharmacist guy is old and decrepit, and he's all, you know, dementia-ridden and everything. But he remembers him.
That scene confused me, because there's a moment where he's like, he has like a rotten arm, and he's speaking in Pennywise's voice. Yeah. So I'm like, Pennywise possess him?
Yeah.
I didn't know that was a power he had.
Pennywise is everywhere. He's a demon, dude.
Well, it is true. He does have power over the entire town, over the adults at least, because most of them don't notice anything's happening at all.
And that's kind of odd.
Well, I could say it before. It's like when you grow up, you stop believing.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's just one of those things where when you grow up, you start, you know, you just don't buy that like kid crap. But when you're a kid.
So the moral of this story is to always believe.
Yeah, pretty much. And that's the thing. Even the when they grow old, they stop. But the moment they hit that mic, the call for Mike, it all comes back. Or not all of it, you know. It slowly starts coming back to them.
Yeah, this movie. Oh, yeah. I got to tell you, this movie, as dated as it is, and like I've said, you know, several times here, I still love the movie. But I realize now that I love it for nostalgic reasons. You know, there's no other reason that I still love this movie, but from pure nostalgia.
That's the thing. I do love part one of this movie a lot, but it's because of the kids, it's because of Tim Curry, and it's just because of the story overall. Yeah. I really like the story of these kids having to fight this monster.
Tim Curry as Pennywise. And I know Skarsgård in the new ones, which we'll get to in another episode, but
he's great. He's great. He's
good, but the CGI that they do on him to make him even scarier, I think takes away. I'm a huge fan of practical effects.
Yeah.
You know, and even with Tim Curry, and there's parts in here where you can tell that they're cutting away so they can hurt him, put the teeth in his face.
Yeah. You know? Yeah.
that to me is more scary than seeing unhinged jaw open up and swallowing somebody.
No, I 100% agree with you. There is one scene in the new one that is like a heavy CGI scene, but I think is genuinely like very horrifying, and it works really well. But most of the stuff, I agree with you, it works better when it's practical. It always does.
You know, one thing I just remembered.
What?
What do you call a bike?
Oh, Silver.
Silver. Hi-O. That's right. He gets on there. Hi-O. I want one of those bikes.
It is a nice bike, but no lie. Every time that kid said that, I was like, "Oh my god, you're such a nerd."
What did it take place in, like the 50s, 60s?
Yeah,
well, yeah. I mean, a big
Lone Ranger was big.
Was the Lone Ranger? Yeah,
yeah. But it's just every time he says it, I'm like, okay, I get it. I can't remember if they call it Silver in the new one. They must. Wouldn't make sense because it's in the 80s, like time wise.
Yeah.
Who knows? I can't remember, to be honest.
So I'm going through my notes here, and I see Richie had multiple failed marriages.
Oh, there's one thing I want to talk about. You know the scene where Eddie's in the shower?
Oh, yes.
All that happens. It's horrifying. Yeah, he gets to the claymation. Yeah, all the water's coming out, blah, blah, blah. My main thing is, is it a rule that you have to take a shower after gym? Because I remember my school, it wasn't a rule. You could just leave. And I don't think I've ever seen any kid walk into that shower room, ever.
When I was young, there was a lot of kids that did shower. But
well, good for them, but I never would. I never did. I never would have.
It wasn't.
Gun to my head.
It wasn't like, I don't know that it was a rule.
But it seems like in this one, he's like, hey, you sweat, you go. And it's like, what?
Yeah. Well, that's also in the 50s. So, you know, 50s or 60s, and as they go forward, things get a little bit more lenient, more and more.
Yeah.
I remember when I was in gym class, there was all kinds of times that after gym, I was sweaty and stanky. And I'm like, hell no, I ain't getting that shower.
Yeah, no, I was like, never. Mike, I'm never going to. I don't want to get naked a bunch around dudes.
Oh, well, that was my biggest fear was I'm going to go in there and get athlete's foot.
Oh, that yeah,
was,
no.
That
I
was just, my fear.
I just didn't want to be naked around a bunch of guys. A bunch of other 13-year-olds. I'm like, yeah, this doesn't sound great.
Wow, dude. You missed
I'm gonna get. They're going to
life there.
Someone's gonna flick my ball sack or something as a joke, and I'll be like, yeah, this isn't good.
That doesn't happen. That never happens.
Yes. Honestly. Okay. All right.
Most of the time when the kids went in there in the shower, they went in there, they got wet, and they got out and hurt my dress, and that was it.
Look, man, every 80s movie I've seen, when it's the guys in the shower, for some reason, they're just all playing around with each other. I'm like, what? Yeah. Shower, leave.
That's like, you know, all the 80s movies where they have women showering together. They were always all rubbing on each other and stuff.
Yeah, it is a movie thing. But just like, I don't know. Again, like I said, could never, ever make me go in there.
Well, see, the thing I could never understand when I was in junior high school was you're out there in gym class, sweaty, and so you're going to go and take a shower, and then you're going to put your dirty, sweaty underwear back on.
Yeah, true. You're dirty. So yeah, but that
I'm like,
no, because now that I think about it, you had gym clothes.
Yeah, but I always wore the same underwear. I changed my gym clothes, but
I guess I still
had the same underwear on.
That's not the worst.
I'm like, yeah, whatever. I mean, what's the point? I mean, whatever. I didn't want to get
see, athlete's I got, foot. I got lucky in middle school because my gym period was my last period. So I literally just could go home and take a shower.
Wow.
I got lucky on that one.
Look at you.
Then again, it was like a 45-minute drive home. So like it was a while before I was going to go take that shower.
So now, as we have this spider that crawls off, you know, is moaning deeper into the cave. They go after him because they need to finish him off, right? He's dead.
And they plan on using like the silver nuggets to beat him.
They don't work.
Well, no, it's not that they don't work. She misses.
On both of them, I thought one of them she hit and it bounced off.
Okay, it did, but she didn't hit the underbelly. She hit like the scales on top.
Yeah. Okay.
And then. Whenever Eddie gets like, you know, got whatever happens, then she does her final shot and it's the underneath. And then they all get together and they just push it over.
Yeah. And but when they get out, they start reading through, you know, they start Mike starts going through that journal, but they're all starting to forget again.
Yeah. It's one of the things where once they start to leave the town is when they forget, but it's also the thing is gone now. So the trauma is over completely. So like, yeah, I think it's just going to be gone from them for the rest of their lives, that memory.
But is it really gone?
I think they killed it.
Just asleep for another 30 years.
That was the thing too. In the books, there was like, whenever it's the giant spider, you see that it has eggs. So it was having children. It was going to have children, but they destroyed the eggs as well. In the book.
Oh, wow. That's frightening.
And it's one of the cool things also in the book is they don't do it in the movie, but after when they make the promise, they have like a blood pact and they make like a scar in their hand. Yep. And after they kill it and everything's done, all their scars are gone.
Huh. Well, so that would have been something that would have been nice to put in a movie.
Yeah. It really sucks too because they didn't do it in the new one either. And they did have scars, but they didn't make them disappear. That would have been really cool, but oh well.
So let's talk about this final scene with Audra and Silver.
I know a lot of people, people I've talked to about the book and the movie, they don't like this scene. They think it's kind of dumb that this is what wakes her up. But I genuinely like it a lot. I like that it's this thing from childhood that brings her back. It's this like this fun memory that both I think it was Bill and Mike that were like, you know, they're running around on the bike. I don't know, I like it a lot.
My concern is that he's going down this
hill. Did you not?
And he's carrying this comatose girl. What I didn't like about this scene is that you have Mike on this bike.
Bill.
Carrying a comatose woman. He doesn't have much control over the bike, and he's going downhill in traffic.
And he does nearly kill them. There's like four cars that nearly hit them.
I mean, and I was like, dude, you're going to die. You're going to die to try and wake her up. Now, luckily, he doesn't die, and she does wake up. But there's some safety concerns there.
Look, it was a little stupid the way they shot it. Sure. Did they want a little drama for the last scene? Sure. But I think it's really sweet. I like it a lot that it's this. It's, again, their childhood coming, their childhood innocence coming back. The symbol of the bike, basically.
Okay. I agree with you. I think that the first part, the child story, is 100 times better than when they bring in the adult.
Yeah. It's both the acting, it's just the story itself. It's the fear that you feel more for the kids than the adults.
I really don't like that last scene. I think it's dumb. And I've never read the book. But
it's that scene's pretty much the same in the book.
The whole time I'm reading, I'm like, or I'm seeing this part, I'm like, dude, you're a fucking idiot. What? You're going to die. I mean, at least wait until there's no traffic. You know, but yeah, no.
I mean, again, I'm pretty sure in the book they don't, it's not like in the middle of traffic. It's just down a road.
Well,
just did it to movie-fy it, you know, make it more dramatic.
She does wake up and I'm presuming that they do live happily ever after.
Yeah.
You know, because there's not a part three.
Yeah.
Continuing adventures.
Ben and Beverly leave together, become a couple. And that's Richie goes back to California.
That's one thing that we left out. The poem.
Oh, yes. The
poem that...
January Embers, something, something. My heart burns there, too.
Yeah. And, you know, he had left that...
Ben.
Yeah, so, Ben. Yeah, Ben left that poem for her. This is when, you know, her dad finds it. And, what are you doing with boys and all that stuff? But then she thinks the whole time that it's Bill, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Until the end.
And
Pennywise kind of
uses that,
and he was making out with Pennywise.
That is the, besides them pushing the giant spider creature and ripping its heart out, this might be my other scene that isn't intentionally funny, but it made me laugh. It's just when it zooms down and you see the clown body and then it's him. It's like, kiss me, fat boy. It's hilarious.
And then, you know, we also left out the whole scene with Ben and how he lost his weight.
Oh, yeah. He
because of the coach.
He talks about a coach that basically demeaned him and said that, like, I can't remember what he says, but he wanted to prove his coach wrong. So he just started running.
Yeah, it was track, right? Weight. Yeah. It was,
yeah.
I can beat everything. And he went out there and he beat all the best runners.
And the coach ended up hitting him.
Yep. Got him fired.
And got him fired, yeah.
Yeah. What a dick.
Yeah, no. Asshole. Like, yeah.
Hit your kid.
Well, it's not his kid, but it's basically like it's a kid you're teaching. Either way. You shouldn't be hitting children like that.
You have supervision over.
Yeah.
You know, what a dick.
Yeah. Wow. He was supposed to be in high school then too, right?
Yeah. So now, Kelvin, any final thoughts on this movie?
Though I really, like I said, I love part one. Part two kind of brings it down a bit. I genuinely think that the remake does it a little better. But overall, I think biggest sell that this movie has is Tim Curry's Pennywise. Like, it's so good. So good.
It's creepy. I mean,
forever iconic performance. Like, whenever I think of Pennywise, I think of him before I think of the new guy. Which is crazy because I think I generally like that the first new movie more. But I like his Pennywise more.
Yeah, and that's that, you know, me as a kid growing up loving clowns, Pennywise, when he's not being creepy and scary, looks like the average everyday clown that we used to see at circuses. Mm-hmm. And this is one of the things that really freaked me out when I was a kid, when I when I saw this when I was about 16, was that I loved clowns, but now clowns can kill you.
Yeah, they took the thing you liked and they made it a horrifying image.
And so, I mean, I still like clowns, but, you know, this kind of did for a generation of kids, I think, what Jaws did for a generation of kids with the ocean.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know? I 100% agree.
And I like the movie. I have to agree with you. The first part of the movie is so much better than when they bring the adults in to come back in and do it. But I think that's mainly, it is, like I said before, it's a kid's story. It's a kid's story of survival.
Yeah.
When you bring the adults back in to take care of it 30 years later, you know, I don't think that's intriguing of a story. And now, if you have the kids, when they're kids, that's an intriguing story. If you have the kids, when their kids defeat him, you know, that's different. But when you have to bring back adults in to take care of the situation 30 years later. I don't know.
I mean, I think that's what works about the story though as a whole. I think it's the fact that they didn't defeat it the first time. They tried and they failed. They think they did it, but they don't know for sure. And they make that promise that no matter what happens, if this thing comes back, we got to come back to get it. And well, I just like the idea of you having to come back to face your childhood trauma. Yeah,
it works. It works.
It works for a story.
In the story. Yeah, exactly. It works in the story. But when they started putting it into on screen.
It starts to lose it. Adult side. Yeah, it starts to lose its. Well, that's also the thing, too, is that that's my main problem with part two of the new one. Because at least with these ones, you still get intercut scenes with the kids. You still get these flashbacks.
Yeah.
Even in the book, it goes back and forth still. But in the new movies, it's only kids in part one and only adults in part two. There's like, again, there's like maybe like two or three flashbacks, but it doesn't work as well as this one.
Yeah.
It's weird. I generally think part two of this one, though, is actually better than the one. But we will see that on a later date.
Yeah, I got to rewatch that one. Coming up.
Oh, yeah. I can't wait to watch the part one again. I love that movie so much.
And that's what we have in store coming up. I think because of the situation, in the last podcast I put out, I put the explanation of why things are kind of out of order this time. I had to come down, take care of some stuff in Florida. But this episode will be coming out later this month. And we have also coming up the new It.
And both chapter one and chapter two.
Yep. And then we also have the movie The Clown and Terrifier.
Are you going to do both one and two or just one?
Just one.
Okay.
Just one. Two is so much better, but we're going to.
I still haven't seen it. I still haven't seen it.
It's awesome. I love it.
I got to watch it.
You got to watch All Hallows Eve, which is the original movie that Art the Clown was in. I didn't realize that he was in a movie before Terrifier.
Didn't either.
Yeah, there's a movie called All Hallows Eve that introduces Art the Clown. That's kind of freaky.
Is that in? Oh, wow. There's like a whole, there's like a 3-year difference between that one and two.
There were some shorts that they made with Art the Clown before All Hallows Eve. But in All Hallows Eve, they kind of just combined all the shorts and made it into one big movie.
Gotcha. So All Hallows Eve is shorts?
No, it is.
It is mostly about the Terrifier clown.
It is. It's about Art the Clown. Yep. But they do it in a way so it's one continuous movie. So it doesn't. Like, if you were to watch the old shorts, they're like, 40 minutes each. But in this one, they just put them together, and it's a continuing story of Art the Clown.
Oh, gotcha. So, yeah, because now I'm looking at it. I'm seeing that there's the Ninth Circle, which was, I guess, the first short with him in it. Interesting.
Yeah.
And I didn't know he had this history.
I had no idea about that either, but it's definitely worth a watch, All Hallows Eve. You can get caught up on Art the Clown before we bust into the Terrifier.
Yes.
And that's going to be a fun ride. Let me tell you.
I'm generally just so excited for us to get to the next It movies. Yeah. I, I, Also, I just to compare and contrast between these movies, I want us to see. I'm going to see which one you like better. I'm assuming it's going to be the older one, but
we'll see.
We never know.
We'll see.
I will say that new one does have one good thing for it. It has that Cure song.
What?
You don't remember it? Oh, man. This is going to be good.
Okay. That's for another time.
Yes. That's
another time. Well, Kelvin, I want to thank you for joining me to speak about 1990s It.
Yeah, of course.
Stephen King
show. Fun as usual.
And I love watching these movies, so I'll just keep going and going.
It's my favorite thing, to watch a movie and then just shoot the shit about it.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So, everybody out there, you have a good night, sweet dreams, love, peace, and chicken grease.
Beep, beep, Richie.
As we reluctantly bid adieu to the twisted carnival of horrors and the maniacal laughter echoing in the shadows, I hope your heart is still racing and your nerves are electrified. Clowns with their painted smiles and hidden malevolence remind us that terror can wear a colorful mask. Remember, in the circus of the macabre, the line between delight and dread is razor thin. Until next time, when we venture into the darkest corners of the human psyche once more, keep an eye on the corners of your vision and a flashlight close at hand, for you never know when the circus may return to town. Sleep with one eye open, dear listeners, and may your dreams be free of painted grins and red noses.
This concludes our broadcast day. Good night, and God bless America.